from Cool Community Church for leading us. Thanks, Rob. Thank you, team. We praise God for just some gifted musicians that God has blessed the church with, Drew. What a blessing to be a part of, just seeing your body and your church group. And thanks, folks, for being here and serving with us today. And what a blessing to sing with them and to sing together. I want to end our time in practically asking a couple of questions that I know you guys are thinking as you hear this, because I know your minds. No, I don't. Only God does. But I've come up with some questions I want to run through with Drew. But before I do that, I'm going to give my one last super pack. This is the super pack. All right, this is the super equip pack, and I was thinking about some books that might apply. Drew talked about Joshua Harris, who wrote a book years ago that kind of started the controversy. Back in the day, called I Kiss Dating Goodbye, okay? Well, Joshua Harris, since then, has hopefully written a more balanced book. No, just kidding. called Boy Meets Girl.
It
wasn't a retraction.
But it was close.
But it was better. So I have that book, so you can make sure you get the fair side of that. And he's also written another book on dealing with lust and living pure in a lust-saturated world. So that's a good book. John Piper, who was mentioned in that video, who has a ministry, who's a pastor, now overseeing Desiring God Ministries, and he's written a book called Think. And we want you to think, right, about these things. And it talks about some discernment. And then Tim Challey's book, The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment, because we want to be discerning about these things, right? Yep. And then a copy of the ESV Study Bible and a Cool Community Church t-shirt. Yes. We can't walk away without it.
And the cup.
This is the mega pack right here. It's way better than anything else. All right. So who gets the mega pack right now? Right here. What's that? Okay. 979. 861. Who's got it? Oh, we might not have. Oh, yeah!
Woo-hoo!
Grace Roseville will represent.
Nice.
Actually, she's between two Grace Bible churches. All right. Your name and school you're at?
Hannah.
And your school?
And Western Sierra.
Western Sierra representing. All right. And what grade are you in, Hannah?
I'm a ninth.
Ninth. You get the super pack. Here you go.
All right.
Thanks for being here. Awesome. What a great day to be together and participate. And Hannah's from Grace Roseville, and she goes to every Grace Bible Church that exists, actually. If you guys know Hannah, she attends all the Grace Bible Churches. All right, hey, a couple questions here. Drew, as we were sitting through this, I wanted to think through practically just in application of everything you talked about today. So when is it a good time to date? I know you said marriage is the ultimate goal, right?
Yep.
Marriage is really what we're shooting for. And the seventh grader that's sitting in here is going, I'm not getting married anytime soon.
Right.
So,
thank goodness.
You seventh grader are not getting married anytime soon. and if you are planning to, come talk to us later. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's not good.
A good idea.
Not a good idea, not right now. Okay. So when's a good time? And how do I measure that? Okay.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think, you know, especially for the young men here, the good time to be thinking about that is when it is feasible that you would actually be able to get a job and support a wife, okay? Because, again, I said children are expensive, and wives are very expensive, okay? So I would say that's kind of that's really the litmus test. For some people, that might be right out of high school. You know, that's the way it was back in the day. And some of you maybe are good with your hands, you're going into a trade or something like that. And so that's a feasible thing for you. And I am not one of those that encourages you to wait to get married and delay. I think there's some huge problems with that philosophy. But you do need to be able to support a wife and not be living in your mommy's basement eating Cheetos and playing video games, okay? So at whatever point that is, for a lot of guys, that's probably going to be just after college. So you go to college, you got the degree, you're going to pursue a career of some sort, and you're still going to be poor. And just know that, like, when you get married, you're going to be poor. And just accept that right now. I remember, man, when Amy and I first got married, we were living in Bakersfield, God's country. But you might have heard, it gets hot there. And we were living in a second-story apartment, and we could barely afford the air conditioning, like any air conditioning. And it was just, like, frying in our apartment. And so at night, like, we would go to the bathroom and get our bodies wet with water and then jump in the bed and lay there. And we had two box fans on each side trying to cool us down. Like, just stay still, maybe we'll get cool. So you're going to be poor, and that's okay, right? Like, the point is that you're, you know, advancing and you're moving forward there, but just expect that. So I'm not saying you need to have a six-figure income to get married. You don't need all your ducks in the row, but you do need some viable form of steady income so that you're not living off of somebody else. You need to be independent. Okay, Genesis 2, leave the father and mother, cleave to his wife. You are your own household. As far as you are beholding to somebody else, like parents, you're not really your own household, and that is just fraught with trouble.
So guys, get a job, all right?
Get a job.
No.
Seriously, get a job.
Let's get a job. Hey, so, Drew, that high school girl comes into you, your office and says, but Drew, Pastor Drew, there's no good guys. All the guys around me are lame. There's a lot of pressure. I see all the guys I'm in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. They're all dating somebody. What am I supposed to do? There are no good Christian guys. You just have to date a Christian guy. There are no good Christian guys. What do I do, Pastor Drew?
Cast your bread upon the waters. Go fishing. But find a good pond, friends. And I am a huge fan of Christian colleges. I really am. I think one of the best things about Christian colleges for ladies is you can go get your MRS degree. Okay? And there is no shame in that. That is a good thing. That's where there tend to be more good Christian guys there, kind of collected in one location. And so if you go there with a fishing pole, ring by spring or your money back, friends. Like, it will happen if you're looking. So that's not the only reason to go to college, but it's a really good one. So,
but also, too, I think you talked about contentment early on in the morning session, too.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Think it's a challenge to really consider, am I being content, trusting that God will bring that person in the right time, too, right?
Exactly. Like, the sovereignty of God is huge in that, just knowing that the Lord has placed you where he's placed you. And he's put you in the circumstances that you're in, and he will take you where he wants you to be. You know, I think the wisdom part of it is, again, you get out of high school, now you're basically on your own, you're basically independent. Now wisdom choices come up, where would be the best place to cast my line, right? You go to Salt Lake City, there's certain fish that live there, and you might not want to catch one of them, right? Master's College, there's good fish there, friends. I'm giving you a heads up. There's good fish down there.
Justin found his wife at Bob Jones. There's some good fish at Bob Jones,
that happens
too, right?
Sometimes.
Right, Justin?
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard about that. John MacArthur got kicked out of Bob Jones. Well, didn't he find his wife? That's right.
Okay, anyway, Drew, moving on. Okay.
Anyways.
Let's you're digressing here. All right, quickly. All right.
But I digress.
And again, we're not saying everybody has to go to Christian college.
No.
Maybe in the context of the church, too, Drew. Like,
yeah, the context of the church.
Let me ask you this before you answer. What is the role of us students in regards to the importance of being a part of church for this reason?
Oh, absolutely. Like, because as you're a part of a community, as you're part of a church, you're going to be interacting with other people your age, hopefully. And that might be part of it. That's Emily's story. I keep picking on you, Emily, but it's a beautiful story. That's Emily. She found a great guy here at Cool Community Church. And so that's a huge part of it. Like, being plugged into a local church, you're going to be interacting with other Christians, many of them around your age. You're going to have other godly people that can influence you and can help point you in the right direction. And so, again, you're not the future of the church. You are the church. And embrace that right now. Grab a hold of that. Can I tell you, like, the number one thing you can do to preserve your marriage, by the way, the absolute number one best thing you can possibly do to preserve your marriage is go to church. The statistics are unbelievable. People who go to church regularly, the divorce statistics are in the toilet. Like, down, they're very low. Is that the right way to say it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm sticking with that. That's right. consistent weekly attendance at a worship service, specifically a Christian worship service, increases the exponentially increases the likelihood that your marriage is going to make it.
Okay. So what do I do if I don't come from a Christian home? I'm not a Christian home. My parents aren't real hip on me going to church. I go to the youth. I'm here today because a friend brought me. I'm not real active there. I kind of go. I don't love it, and my attitude isn't great. But it's not being reinforced at home, any of this stuff.
Right.
And my dad says, go get a girlfriend.
Whatever. I would say that there's a reason that the Bible uses so many metaphors for the church. And one of the primary metaphors the Bible uses is a family, right? This is the family of God. So even if your biological family doesn't know the Lord and isn't encouraging you in that, your spiritual family in the church will. And these connections within the context of the local church are actually more significant even than your biological connections, as important as those are, right? Because these are spiritual in nature. And again, I just can't overemphasize the importance of getting plugged into a local church, coming under the authority of a local church, and having godly men and women invest in your life. Like, that's really where it's going to be at.
And then also, let me ask you this, Drew, in regards to friendship. So we agree with everything that's said clearly today, and we're saying, you know what, I want to be committed to these things. I don't need to be dating right now. I've got high school to get through. I need to get a job, yeah? I need to prepare for all that. So what should my friendships, let's talk about friendships a little bit, look like in the context of my life right now in relation to everything we talked about today?
I think that our culture has sold us a terrible, terrible lie. And the lie is that men and women can have friendships, the same types of friendships that men and men can have, okay? And that, like, I can be the same kind of friend with a female that I can be with another male. And I would just say, I think that's a lie from the pit of hell. I do not think it's true in any way whatsoever. And just to give an example of that, Rob and Jen are a married couple. Jen is Rob's wife, and they're friends with Amy and I. If Jen and I just happened to meet up and go to coffee sometime, that'd be a problem, right? Like, we should all agree, that'd be a big problem. Like, there's something wrong about that. Now, if Rob and I did that, that's no big deal. Well, you translate that backwards into your dating relationships, I think the same principle applies. Now, that's not to say that we can't be friends with members of the opposite sex. Emily and I are friends. Jen and I are friends. But the relationship is fundamentally different, right? It is fundamentally different there. Within the context of the church, especially as singles right now, I think within like a group context, youth group, college group, those kinds of things, I think that can be helpful. It can be a good way to go fishing. Men and women interacting, but I want to be so cautious about the cavalier attitude that our culture has towards those kinds of relationships. There is something very unique and very special about a man and woman having a relationship. And even like, I would even take it this far, you know, even as singles, if you have a relationship with a young lady who's not your wife and you're not going to get married to her, and you start bearing like pieces of your soul to her or bearing your heart to her, I think you're giving her something that is not hers. You know, that belongs to your wife, even if you're not married yet. And when you bury yourself like that, I think you're setting yourself up for some real heartaches and for some real failures in the future. So there is a very clear distinction between male-male relationships and male and female relationships.
One of the last things you talked about was how holy can I be, right? The chastity principle in the last session. One of the things that I was thinking about as you talked about that is about the things that we're exposing ourselves and watching today, because television, movies, even YouTube clips, everything's and the stuff that emphasizes relationships emphasizes it from a very non-biblical worldview, a non-Christian worldview that says everybody is in relationships. People are living together. People are having sex before marriage. I thought a good question and kind of something that we should talk through a little bit is what should all of us, how should we be thinking about what we're watching, what we're viewing, what we're in, what we're taking in as young students, as junior high school, college age students in regards to that in preparation for our healthy relationships?
Yeah. Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You are, in a very important sense, you are an accumulation of the influences in your life. The friends in your life, you will become like your friends. One way or another, they will influence you, whether you realize it or not. The books you read, the media that you consume, all of those things are influencing your heart. Every movie you've ever watched is a sermon. Okay, like don't ever think that movies and video games and television, that's neutral. It is not neutral. It's a sermon. There's a message being proclaimed to you. And again, wisdom and maturity is the ability to discern and to figure out what are they saying. And so there's a very important discipline in the Christian life to guard your heart. Ultimately, I mean, what your mom told you is true. Garbage in, garbage out. I mean, that's what's going to happen. If you consume garbage in your media, whether it be music or video games, books, movies, all that stuff, that will come out of you. I mean, it's just inevitable. And I think, again, maturity is recognizing that, because you know, so much of maturity is about humility, right? Pride in youth is saying, well, I'm above that. It's not going to happen to me. Yes, it will. Humility is saying, no, my feet are made of clay, just like everybody else's. And that means I'm weak. And so I need to guard my heart as well, because I know how weak I really am. So, yeah, I think that's part of it, is guarding your heart.
Okay, good. Those are actually the only main questions I really wrote down. I just wanted to think through some of those things. Any other last thoughts as far as anything that you, after you sat down, thought, I wish I would have said something and missed that point or anything like that you wanted to just close with?
I think I've given myself enough rope to hang myself with. I just want to just comment again on what a remarkable gathering this is. This is unusual here, what we're doing, and unusual in a very good way, that 10 churches that are not connected by a denomination, loosely connected through school associations, really connected through our common insurance agent over here, that we would get together as like-minded people and do this. This is clearly of the Lord and something that we should be just remarkably thankful for. That this is a gathering that is very special. And just know that as someone that's observed these things for a long time, I've never seen anything like this. And that is something amazing. So I'm jazzed. I'm so glad that you guys came, especially you guys that drove 3 hours. Oh, I mean, I hope this was worth it for you, because that's a long drive. and I'm really thankful that you guys made it.
Let's thank Pastor Drew for spending the day with us. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Drew. Thank you to your wife, Amy, for giving up a Saturday with you and your three wonderful kids. And let's thank the members of Cool Community Church who served us today, keeping this place clean. Thanks. Thank you, folks. Thank you for all the work. Janet, Drew, back there, thank you so much for kind of leading all that and on this end. You know, they took this on, and as you saw, they really spearheaded everything for the day today. It made my life a lot easier, and so I'm grateful that you guys faithfully just opened up your church. It's a great location to do this in, right? Hang out for the day up in Cool Community, where many of you guys have never been to Cool California, so now you can say, I've been to Cool California. All right, hey, I'm going to have Justin Schroeder, the youth pastor of Grace Bible Church Fair Oaks, come up, and he's going to close in prayer for us. And you guys, on the way out, if you can do me a favor, pick up any trash you have here on the way outside as well. The nets are still set up there. You can hang out for a little bit of time. They're cleaning up, and they're welcoming you to hang out and stretch your legs before you leave. But we want to get you guys home in time to get the rest for Lord's Day tomorrow. But Justin Schroeder, come up. Everybody say hi to Justin. Welcome, Justin. Justin's with us. And Justin's going to close in prayer for us.
All right. Yeah, don't go home and think two things. One, doesn't apply to me because I'm too young. That'd be stupid. Okay? Don't go home and think that. Because what you learn now is just going to come out one day. So go home and say, God, maybe this is like next week. Maybe it's like 5 years down the road. But keep this notebook and be like, all right, God, I need this. And grow from it. And then don't be like, oh, yeah, that was just like some bald bearded guy talking. I'm tired of that. Like, I've heard that my whole life. Take it as it is the word of God. And don't get your cues from pop culture. Like, go to the Word of God and be like, God actually gives us everything for life and godliness, especially this. And this is an area that I think we're totally prone to get our cues from culture, and then we're way messed up. So get your cues from the Word of God and heed it, even if it's years down the road, and you will be just so much better off for following God's roadmap. So thanks, Drew. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for Cool Community Church. Thank you for what you're doing here at Cool Community to exalt the name of Jesus in this part of California. What an awesome thing you're doing here. Thank you for their eagerness to serve all of us, that we could come up here today and just be blessed and encouraged. Thank you for Pastor Drew laboring in the Word of God, teaching us. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that's right now involved in a relationship that doesn't match up with what we learned today from the Word of God, that they'd repent, that they'd be broken before God, that they would seek out godly leadership and make things right. Maybe the relationship has to end. Maybe it can be saved with a lot of fixing. Oh, but God, would you work that way? And then, Father, for those who aren't at this stage of life yet, would they have an idea from God's word what it's going to look like? And then when that day comes, they wouldn't just pursue whatever the world pushes upon them. Would they say, no, I know what God wants, and I'm going to walk down that road because his way is always best. And so, Father, may we be those kind of followers of Christ, that we eagerly follow you. And this is just some great tools today to help us as we strive to follow you. So help us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Take us home safely. And may tomorrow, as we gather with our local churches, just be an awesome time of worshiping the Savior and learning from his word. And in Christ's name, amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a great day.